Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken care of. It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Very, very happy to welcome back to the show my friend Julie Kelly. She is the author of January 6th, How Democrats Use the Capitol Protest to Launch a War on Terror Against the Political Right. Hello, my friend. How are you?
Good, Rich. How are you? It's been a while. Thanks so much for having me on.
Well, listen, you have an open invitation. I love having you on. I think you're brilliant. And your work over at Real Clear Investigations is outstanding. So you, anytime you want to come on, you just let me know. All right? You consider this an open invitation.
I shall. Thank you very much.
Now, yesterday, the United States Supreme Court heard arguments in whether or not to apply a reform that was done after Enron shredded documents under Sarbanes-Oxley to now charge people for exercising their First Amendment rights on January 6th. And they couldn't answer any questions, the Solicitor General of the United States, about people on the left who've done things. They couldn't answer any questions about the hypotheticals that were posed by Justice Neil Gorsuch. What's your takeaway from yesterday's Supreme Court hearing?
So this is oral arguments in a case called Joseph Fisher versus the U.S. Joseph Fisher is one of 350 January 6th defendants who has been charged by this DOJ with what you just accurately described, a post-Enron document records destroying statute, 1512C2. And this is the first time in its more than 20-year history that this obstruction statute has been used in the way DOJ has been using it, which is, again, to your point, to criminalize political dissent, turn Trump supporters into lifelong felons, and use this sort of as a warning to Americans. If you interrupt a congressional or government proceeding, one that, of course, we think is valuable and we need to protect, January 6th, not anything else, then you will face this obstruction count punishable by up to 20 years in prison. So this is the first time the Supreme Court has had the opportunity to review how DOJ, in my opinion, has abused this statute. And it did sound like at least a majority of the justices were leaning towards reversing how DOJ has applied this. You have over 100 people who have already been sentenced to prison for this count and other offenses. And this will have a huge, as one individual, one former judge said, wreak havoc on the D.C. federal courthouse if SCOTUS does the right thing, in my opinion, and overturns this statute.
And what the Supreme Court would say is that the application of this statute is not in line with what Congress's intent was when it passed it. Correct, Julie?
I think the intent of the statute is one part of it. But I also think, you know, to your point, it has to deal with destroying or mutilating or concealing records in an official proceeding, meaning an investigation, right? Official proceeding in the entirety of 1512, not just this subsection, this provision 1512C2, the entirety of 1512 deals with investigations or trials or preparation for trial. Didn't mean a meeting of Congress because, of course, as Neil Gorsuch and Sam Alito and others pointed out, well, would this then apply to someone heckling, you know, or interrupting a Senate hearing, or someone who pulled a fire alarm before an important House vote, which of course got a big laugh, as he was referring to Representative Jamal Bowman, who pulled that fire alarm to delay a House critical House vote. And of course, the government, U.S. Solicitor General Elizabeth Pelligar, came back and said, oh, no, that wouldn't rise to the level of this statute. And when they pressed her as to why, she really didn't have a good answer, because, of course, Rich, she's not going to come out and say, well, no, we're not going to do this to our side. I mean, Elizabeth Pelligar is a Biden appointee. She clerked for Merrick Garland. She clerked for Elena Kagan. She is a Democrat. So she's not going to say, oh, yeah, sure, we're going to round up our own protesters who delayed or interrupted numerous times Brett Kavanaugh's confirmation proceedings, or, you know, the 2017 inaugural riots, or what's been happening in Washington and around the country for the past 6 months, the pro-Hamas anti-Israel demonstrations that also took place in Washington. So this just speaks, Rich, to the selective prosecution overall of January 6th defendants, a caseload that now exceeds 1,400 individuals, with this Department of Justice and FBI rounding up new defendants almost every day, if you can believe it or not.
And for things just as innocuous as walking through the rotunda, using the bathroom, taking selfies, I mean, it's just, it's really outrageous. Am I crazy, Julie, or did I see pictures on television of leftist pro-Palestinian protesters sitting down on the floor of the of Congress, of the House office buildings or Senate office buildings, disrupting the order of business? And did I not see that? Because I'm pretty sure I did.
You did see it, and you have seen it as early as, you know, recently as yesterday. They had pro-Hamas demonstrators interrupting House hearings. We've seen them unlawfully enter Capitol buildings. You're not supposed to do sit-ins or enter House office buildings to demonstrate or protest. They've done that on numerous occasions. They've interrupted Senate hearings, including the Senate Foreign Relations Committee and other committees. So why would that not count? And this was what Elizabeth Pelligar didn't have a good answer for. And I think it was Sam Alito who kept pushing her, well, what does it matter if it's interrupted for 5 minutes or 6 hours, like the certification of the Electoral College on January 6th? She said, well, because it wasn't meaningful, it was minimal. And Justice Alito said, but there's no minimal word in the statute. It just says anyone who obstructs, attempts to obstruct, influence, or impede an official proceeding. Well, they're impeding it. Doesn't say it's not just obstruction, and it doesn't matter how much time it takes. If we're going to apply it here and you are taking the strictest reading of very vague language, then it's going to have to apply to all of these other instances of, to your point, First Amendment protected, for the most part, First Amendment protected political speech and activity.
Julie Kelly's with me. She's the author of January 6th, How Democrats Used the Capitol Protest to Launch a War on Terror Against the Political Right. I thought Justice Clarence Thomas made an excellent point, too, when he said, you know, we've seen a lot of protests on the left. Andy McCarthy was on my show yesterday. He made a great point. I mean, that courthouse in Portland, Oregon, where they were firebombing that federal courthouse for 2 weeks, and they couldn't get any business done. I mean, you talk about disrupting an official proceeding. They couldn't get any business done. Nobody was charged with this statute. Nobody. I mean, nobody in the wake of George Floyd's death, in the summer of love, when billions of dollars of damage were caused across this country, not a single person, to my knowledge, Julie Kelly, has been charged with under this statute that's been applied to people on January 6th.
That's correct. And Elizabeth Pelligar admitted that yesterday, that no, there have only been a handful of convictions that didn't deal with document or record shredding like the statute calls for. And when she was pressed on that, she only gave a few examples that went back to people who were concealing evidence or trying to interfere in a criminal investigation.
Exactly. Yep. Yep. I noticed that, because that was her answer. She got, has this statute ever been applied? And she said something like, yes, somebody withheld evidence or lied. But there was no example of somebody being prosecuted for disrupting a political or official proceeding, Congress, a court, whatever. Not one example. She couldn't give one.
she couldn't. And I think that's really what is going to get her and DOJ, deservedly so, in a lot of hot water with the court. And look, even the appellate ruling that came down last year, and this is really what's at issue in Fisher, it was a 2-1 split decision. And Florence Pan, the Biden appointee who authored this decision, noted that this was a novel use of 1512C2. Everyone knows this is the first time it's ever been used this way. And now everyone knows this will be the last time it will ever be used this way. If the Supreme Court comes back and gives its imprimatur on this, that will really be a dangerous escalation in this very untrustworthy, weaponized, politicized Department of Justice, then escalating, cherry-picking other vague federal statutes to criminalize political dissent and eviscerate the 1A rights of Americans, depending on what political party they are aligned with.
Yeah, and it's also really antithetical to the idea that of equal justice under the law. The fact that it's not I don't think it should be applied to anybody. But I mean, the fact that it's not being applied uniformly is very problematic. And then the fact that there's no limiting principle here. There's no way to limit it. Like Amy Coney Barrett had a great point. She said, what happens? I mean, you had all these lunatics who were blocking the Golden Gate Bridge. And I mean, she didn't use the word lunatic. I'm using it. But, you know, shutting down the Golden Gate Bridge and shutting down the Brooklyn Bridge and or making people late for their flights at O'Hare Airport. What if one of those people was a member of Congress and they couldn't get to vote? Would they not be charged with this? Would they not be disrupting an official proceeding? And again, the Solicitor General danced around that, too.
She did. And then she went back to, well, you have to prove that there was intent and that it was corrupt intent. And I think it went back to blockading Washington. You know, what if they shut down the streets or bridges accessing Washington, D.C., and members of Congress, to your point, couldn't get there for important votes or just to conduct business? She came back, well, you have to show intent. And I think it was either Gorsuch or Alito again who said, well, but that's exactly what they were intended to
right,
do.
Right.
I mean, of course that's what they intend. But I'll give you the flip side. I mean, most of the protesters who have been charged with 1512C2 had no intention of shutting down the joint session of Congress. They were saying stop the steal, right? They wanted the vetting process that day. They didn't want Congress to shut down. They didn't want to halt the proceedings. They wanted, number one, Mike Pence to do what Donald Trump had advised, or they wanted what else was happening that day, which was a full vetting. It would be almost 12 hours of members of Congress and senators debating the outcome of the election in these swing states. So a lot of them, you couldn't prove that they had an intent to go in there and stop the saying stop the steal is different than saying shut down Congress,
right,
shut down the count. A lot of them said they were very disappointed that what happened that day resulted in halting the joint session and the counting of certificates and the vetting of voting fraud in those states. Because then afterwards, even senators and members of Congress who were going to participate in that came back and change their mind. So the intent would be far more provable, say, for the pro-Hamas, anti-Israel demonstrations across the country and in Washington than most of the 350-plus J6ers who face this felony count.
Well, that's a great point, because the goal of A15, for example, the other day was literally to disrupt the flow of commerce, to disrupt capitalism. That's what they wanted to do. They wanted to disrupt the day. That was their goal. On January 6th, people wanted what was the law at the time, the Electoral Count Act, for the Congress, which was within their legal right to reject the results of the Electoral College and send it back to the states. They wanted that outcome, and they were protesting. Now, how do you differentiate somebody that day who was inside the rotunda with an American flag and a MAGA hat from the images we've seen on the news countless times of the people who were kicking in windows or doing anything else that would be akin to violence? How does that get distinguished here?
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I
feel like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever. And the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, there are roughly 55 to 60 convictions now on 1512C2 of people who engaged in no violence. There are other 1512 convictions of people who then only faced another civil disorder felony, which is only punishable by, I think, up to 5 years in prison. So there are, I think, roughly 100 or so that have 1512C2, an assault on officer charge. Joseph Fisher has an assault on officer charge with this 1512C2 that was dismissed in his case. That's how it got to the Supreme Court. But look, the overwhelming majority of the 1,400 now individuals face either 1512C2, civil disorder, or low-level misdemeanors. The most common misdemeanor is trespassing at the restricted grounds because Mike Pence was a Secret Service protectee. And the government came back late stage and said, well, this was restricted grounds because he's a Secret Service protectee. Another common low-level petty offense, parading in the Capitol. So,
but it's a public building. I mean, it's literally the people's house.
Yes, it is. And that's correct.
I have a hard time with the idea of trespassing. How anybody could be trespassing in the people's house? They didn't declare January 6th to be a restricted day. That's not what it was. I mean, they do that with a lot of events where the president's going to be at or something like that. But that's not what they did that day. It's a public building. It is open to the public. It is the people's house. So how can you argue that you're trespassing inside a public building that is the symbolic house of the people? I don't understand that.
Well, I'll tell you what. This is another charge that is before the appellate court right now. And this is this common trespassing charge of being on restricted grounds. And this is probably going to get kicked back from the appellate court to the district court and say that these defendants, the judge or the government, has to prove that they knew the building and the grounds, not just the building, the grounds were restricted and off limits because Mike Pence was there or was going to be there.
Right.
This is the statute, one of the statutes that they've dusted off. So 1512C2 is not the only instance or example of the government taking statutes that have never been used in this manner before and only applying them to J6ers. There are quite a few others, which speaks to the overall selective prosecution of January 6ers. They are political prisoners regardless of what they did. Even if they assaulted police officers, a big no-no, broke a window, you cannot find similar cases, comparable cases, charges, and certainly prison time for anyone else in Washington, D.C., a crime-infested city where you could find similar punishments that you see handed down routinely against J6ers.
And what about their right to counsel? I mean, I've heard stories about that where they've been denied right to counsel. There's been a lot of issues of them not having attorneys present. I mean, where does all that stand?
At the very beginning, you know, these J6ers, first of all, many of them have no criminal records. This was their first foray into the legal and judicial system. God help them, because they went into they went into hell. Mm-hmm. I call it the legal judicial circle of hell, Washington, D.C., the D.C. U.S. Attorney's Office, the FBI, and the D.C. federal courts. So it was very hard for them to find any attorney who would represent them. So they were stuck with public defenders. Now, there were a few good ones. But think of the political mindset of your average public defender.
Right.
I mean, I reported early on, and I have this in my book, of public defenders, far left radicals, who were trying to reprogram their clients, give them lists of books to read that demonstrated, you know, how racist America is, and basically cleanse their mind of supporting Donald Trump or even believing that the 2020 election was stolen. Now, because the narrative is kind of falling apart, because they have treated these individuals so harshly, and because, Rich, we're getting facts, actual truths out of what happened on January 6th that have been covered up by the government, the House, the January 6th committee, and certainly the media, a lot of questions about other actors who were involved, other agencies who were involved. So I think it's getting a little easier for defendants to find representation. But here's the problem. Here's the Hobson's choice. You either go before a D.C. jury made up of jurors, not only who almost unanimously voted for Joe Biden, but have an unusually hostile view of January 6th and the people involved, which is why DOJ, by the way, has a 100% conviction rate 110-plus trials later, before D.C. juries. Not a single January 6th defendant has been fully exonerated by a D.C. jury 2 years, now more than 2 years into the trials. Or you could plead guilty and hope for mercy from one of these D.C. judges. And if you plead, you have a better chance of getting a lower sentence. So that's the option that these defendants are faced with. And, you know, it's destroyed a lot of lives. It has ended lives. At least four J6ers have committed suicide. It's destroyed marriages, families, bankrupted people. Some people, their own parents have alienated them. I mean, this is such a destructive prosecution. And the bloodlust from this government, from this DOJ, and many of the judges in Washington is something that would horrify Americans, and it makes me sick every time that I see it.
Julie Kelly, thank you, my friend. At some point, we'll have to come back and have you on and talk about poor Ray Epps, who's such a victim of a vast right-wing conspiracy.
I know.
Before I let you go, I mean, that was, of all of the PR propaganda things that I've seen over the last couple of years, that 60 Minutes piece on him and that New York Times story on him on poor Ray Epps and what they're putting him through. The guy who was literally saying tomorrow we go in the Capitol, and now he's been framed as Julie, I still can't believe that they actually put those pieces out, 60 Minutes in the New York Times, with a straight face.
It was so stunning to me because that got traction. Then you had Adam Kinzinger and you had Liz Cheney piping in, and you had all of these people now sympathetic to a man that in every other instance, they consider these individuals domestic terrorists, right? They're insurrectionists. They're traitors. They want them behind bars for life. But suddenly Ray Epps is a sympathetic figure.
The guy who's saying tomorrow we go in the Capitol, we go in. And they're Fed, the crowd's chanting Fed. And people around him are going, no, we're not doing that. We're not doing that. And that's the guy who's the hero who's been victimized in all this. It's just unbelievable. All right, my friend, listen, we'll get you back on. Check out Julie's book, January 6th, How Democrats Use the Capitol Protests to Launch a War on Terror Against the Political Right. Thanks, Julie. I really appreciate it.
Great to talk with you, Rich. Thanks so much.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
it
taken care
forever,
of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.